It's Tuesday, the 31st of August, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast. Here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm host Ace, and joining me is Rhodes.
Hello.
How are you doing?
All right, mate. Have you noticed that currently there are as many bots recording this podcast as there is human beings being recorded in the podcast?
That happens now and then. But yes, we do have two bots recording this because one of them is a git.
You weren't going to say that word, were you?
I chose the better course of valor.
You almost didn't, though, did you?
Almost.
All roads. We're very mature on the Grincast.
Since when?
Never. Shall we talk about video games before this tails off within the first minute?
I mean, we've been going for at least... Oh, yeah. So, Rhodes, what have you been playing?
I've played a plethora of things. I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima, because obviously there's the cool director's cut that's come out. Well, I think it came out a week ago last Friday. And the cool thing about it, allegedly, was that they added a data transfer from the PS4 to the PS5, because obviously, like, as we all know, Sony hate any kind of ease of access to anything. You could move your data between them, but it was an absolute faff before. Whereas now it's a button press. It's a cool little button press. You load up for Ghost of Tsushima on the PS5 and it's like, hey, you wanna transfer your PS4 data? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to do that. I can't be able to play this like 40-hour game again just to do the expansion. And then I hit the button and it's like, hey, you're level one. And I was like, I wasn't level one. And it's like, yeah, you beat the game at level one. And I was like, I didn't fucking beat the game at level one. What are you talking about? And like, you did. And I was like, I didn't. And then like after like half an hour of me doing that to myself and my girlfriend leaving me, I was like, probably gonna start this again. So yeah, I've not actually played the expansion yet, because I either play it as someone who is level one with all the starter gear, or I have to start the game from the beginning and get there, yeah, which is a bit shit, but hey, I'll plod through it. I've also played a game called Black Book. You can read my review on getting you can't can use not up yet. Shit.
I don't think it's up yet.
Yeah, but it's just, I'm looking at it right, it's got a little tick next to it, so it could have been up if I'd put it up, Ace, but I haven't. No spoilers. It's pretty good. If you like Slay the Spire, you'll probably like this. So, you know, that's all I'll give you. I've been playing Formula One. Formula One 2021. I've been playing, it's got a co-op career mode now. So I've been playing with my brother, which generally descends into one of us taking the lead and the other one not enjoying that and then crashing into the one who's in the lead. But despite that, I managed to pick up three race victories. He got five, so I am still the shit brother, which is a shame because my brother is 15 and I'm 27. So, you know, I'm bragging about losing to a child. It's fantastic.
Just say that you're losing on purpose.
I'd love to, but like, you know, when you're putting in like absolutely corking lap times and it's clear that you're not. That's the problem with racing games. Like you can't say that you're losing on purpose, because you can see how fast someone's going and how fast it is compared to the world. Also, at one point, I managed to set the 1,000th fastest lap time on one of the tracks. I think it was Spa, the Belgian Grand Prix, in the time trial mode. This is when the game first came out. And I was like, "Wow, I'm sick." I had a look the other day to see where it was. I'm currently now like 117,000. So clearly it was just because no one played the fucking game yet. So I think when I pulled out like the 1,000th fastest lap, I think I genuinely was like 1,000 out of 1,000, which was a bit disappointing. What else have I played? I don't know, that's about it. I've been playing a lot of racing games. Well, that particular racing game. Playing F1 and crashing. Trying to get through Ghost of Tsushima again so I can enjoy the expansion. I'm reviewing a really nice indie game, which is cracking value for money. I'm just going to say it again, Black Book, everyone. despite all the AAA games I'm listing here, probably the most valuable thing on the list. The only one I didn't pay for as well, which says a lot about the others, doesn't it? yeah, what about you, Ace? What have you been playing?
Oh, glad you asked. I've actually been looking at the list because we publish a list of games we've been playing this week on GameGrind.com, and people seem to really enjoy reading it for whatever reason. But so we enter all of our games that we've been playing onto a spreadsheet, so I've just been double checking on that to see if there's any one interesting one that I could talk about. But I've noticed that I've been playing games with long titles. Super Dimension Neptune versus Sega Hard Girls.
Is that the sequel?
It's one of the Neptunia games.
I don't know where you start with those. Let's not get into that. That's its own podcast.
You could check the article on GameGrind.com to find out where to start with Hyperdimension Neptunia.
What the fuck is this? We're plugging everything we're both publishing. What's going on?
Another one is LEGO Legends of Chima Laval's Journey. Long title. James Cameron's Avatar, The Game.
Isn't that absolute dog shit?
It's not as bad as you might remember. It's not amazing, but it looks really good for a 2009 game, especially. It's fantastic.
Like one of the articles on our website right now, something about how the new Avatar game, it cannot be as bad as that Avatar game, and isn't it written by you?
That's what I was about to move on to tell people to check out the article on, if it's not that bad, why do I think that Avatar, whatever, Pandora, the new Avatar game, cannot be as bad as James Cameron's Avatar, The Game?
It's because it didn't have James Cameron's name in it.
Long story short, there's four different James Cameron's Avatar, The Game, and all have different stories with different protagonists, and it, just read the article, it's really crazy. You'd expect it to just be the same game, but kind of pared down for the PSP version, but no, PSP version and the Wii version are the same. DS has its own version. There was an iOS and Android version, and there was a PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC version.
Did you play all of them?
I wrote the article, didn't I?
That doesn't mean you had to play them all. I mean, I don't know how easy it is to get your hands on the iOS or Android version of James Cameron's The Avatar, The Game.
Not very easy.
That's probably the hardest one to get, I imagine.
I mean, it was made back when you had to download an APK file and a data folder and then go into your system and copy and paste this data folder into the correct directory, and half the time it wouldn't work, and it's much easier these days. It's just all in an APK file. Anyway, check out my article on James Cameron's Avatar, The Game. And check GameGrind.com soon for my review of I Expect You to Die 2, The Spy and the Liar. It's a seated VR game where you are a super spy secret agent, and you are put into a mission where you coincidentally just have to sit, and all of the items that you'll need to solve the various puzzles that crop up are within arm's reach. Worth noting is that your arms include your telekinetic ability, so you can reach across the room to grab things.
Oh, that's good. So playing Half-Life Alyx, but sat down. I don't know.
There are distinctly fewer alien beings in I Expect You to Die 2. You thought I was going to say Half-Life Alyx, didn't you?
I don't know how I would have felt if you did. I think I would have been interested enough to go back and get my VR off my brother to give it a go. If suddenly I Expect You to Die 2 was full of aliens.
I'm not saying that there are no aliens. There's just fewer aliens.
Shit, now I'm intrigued. It's becoming a Destroy All Humans 3 situation. 3R? Is that? No. It's been a long day, Ace. It's been a long day.
It's going to get a fairly positive review. Will Wheaton, the actor, voices one of the main characters and does a superb job.
It's got Will Wheaton in it.
Yeah, it's got Will Wheaton in it.
What's all these, like, talented actors that's rocking up in, like, really small video games recently?
Well, I was talking to one of the devs behind Phantom Covert Ops about David Hayter being in that, which is a small VR title, relatively small VR title.
Well, I mean, obviously we had 12 Minutes as well, didn't we, recently, which was a blockbuster cast of people. And then there was another game, the Truffle Pigs one. Can't remember what it's called. I put it in an indie spotlight recently.
They had something Truffle Pigs, yeah.
Magnificent Truffle Pigs, was it? It's got you remember Rory from Doctor Who? I can't remember the actor's name now, of course.
I've never watched Doctor Who.
Oh, fucking hell, Ace, man.
I watched the movie with Rowan Atkinson.
Why would you? You know what? You've watched so many seasons of Star Trek, and not once have you decided to watch an episode of Doctor Who.
I don't know where to start, and I can't be bothered to start.
Just start with Christopher Eccleston. There you go.
Which one was that?
It's like the ninth Doctor, I think.
Anyway. Yeah, Gamescom. I don't have a segue. So Gamescom was this past week. So we're going to talk about it. I know we talked about Gamescom last week, but that was an old episode from the year 2011 that I pulled out of the archives and was not recorded on the spot with little notice.
Yeah, I wasn't there because I was doing my A-levels. Sorry.
Wait, you should have had your A-level. Were you doing resits?
Look, mate, I'm from the Midlands. So we're thick. Got an E on me maths. And, I don't know, comic books. I did an A-level, to be honest with you.
This week we're going to talk about Gamescom 2021. There were a bunch of announcements, and one, I'll preface this, one that I knew about well in advance of time, Saints Row, getting a reboot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Halo Infinite.
I mean, everyone knew about Halo Infinite. I suppose we didn't know the exact release date, which was announced during Gamescom.
Oh, no, it leaked before, didn't it? So we even knew that.
No, I was invited to an event to check out games, Saints Row, a couple of weeks before Gamescom. And, well, there's an article on GameGrin.com about the event. If you want more details about Saints Row, there's also the CG trailer that they showed during Gamescom, the gameplay trailer they showed kind of during Gamescom, but not as part of one of the events, and an article for reasons why it's Saints Row being a reboot is a good thing. I've been busy.
I'm going to ask you a question about this, though, as someone who doesn't play, or has never played Saints Row, I should say. A lot of, like, traditional Saints Row fans have reacted negatively. What would you say to those people? Like, do you understand their concerns, or do you think they're just being entitled gamers?
A bit of column A, bit of column B. I can understand why they're frustrated that we're not getting to see what happens to the characters after God, you know, reset the universe or whatever happened at the end of Get Out of Hell. Did they recreate the planet Earth? Did they travel back in time? Was it all a dream? Please no, please no, please no. Such a stupid trope. So overused.
Is Saints Row an isekai?
But the reason that it's a good thing that it's a reboot is that they don't have to address any of that. All of that stuff could still have happened. It can still happen in the world of Saints Row, because the reboot is taking place in a completely different part of America and with completely different characters. So, stop being entitled. Oh, but the characters look too young. Right, so the boss is approaching 50 if he's not already, he or she.
I mean, they should have seen how my boss looks in Saints Row 2, which I started earlier today. Because if they think these people in the Saints Row reboot don't look like gangsters, whew, I've got someone walking around in a crop top and jorts. So...
Well, to become president of the United States of America, you have to be at least 35. So if the boss in Saints Row 4 was 35, assuming it has progressed in real time, then yeah, fast approaching 50, if not already 50. And yeah, let's get some new characters, some new blood. Let's not say, oh, they look rubbish, because we don't know anything about them. Volition are making this Saints Row game. They made all the Saints Row games. Volition make good games. That's just a fact. Sometimes they're not amazing games, but they're still good. They're still enjoyable.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the thing I keep reading is people are like, they're ignoring the fans, but as an outsider, obviously, again, like I said, I've never delved into the Saints Row games properly until now because of this reboot. How can you be ignoring the fans when the fans didn't know this existed until, like, last week? Like, the fans didn't know what they wanted. In fact, my memory of Saints Row is that the fans weren't happy with the way the series had gone. So they've changed that. Still not happy.
Yeah, let's return to when Saints Row was good. Oh, like Saints Row 2. Yeah, well, Saints Row 2, you were building the Saints up from the ground upwards, and that's what you're doing in Saints Row. You can't return to the old days when you have returned to the old days.
Yeah, because what's the point? If you start with the crime empire, what's the point of playing the game? Like, you're already on top. Like, it's boring then, isn't it?
Yeah, the Saints Row the third starts, you get knocked down into the gutter. Saints Row the fourth starts, yes, you're the president of the United States of America, but you're kidnapped by aliens and left with nothing. So each game you are knocked down to the bottom level.
Yeah, it's like a trope with Saints Row, is it not? Like, you always start at the bottom, even after working your way to the top. Like, yeah. I assume, I've not played Saints Row 1, I started Saints Row 2 today. Saints Row 2 starts, your boss, whoever you make, is they're in a hospital bed in a prison. I don't know how long they've been there, some explosion or something. But I'm assuming by the end of Saints Row 1, you were on top and now you've got nothing again when this one starts. Well, I know that nothing, you've got nothing now, but...
At the end of Saints Row, you weren't the leader of the Saints, but you were a well-respected, liked member. And then you go to meet the mayor on a boat. The boat explodes. End of game.
And then you start from the beginning again.
Yeah, and then Saints Row 2 starts. It's a few years later. I don't think they say exactly how many. And you're waking up from a coma. The Saints have been disbanded, so you start with nothing.
Yeah.
Exactly. In fact, you start with more in Saints Row because the Saints are already an established thing. Anyway, let's move off of Saints, otherwise I'll be talking about it for the rest of the episode.
Oh, but now you're going to want me to talk about a game I enjoyed, aren't you?
Is it going to be Saints Row?
Well, there's this game then that's called Saints Row, and I thought that looked really cool, you know. No, it's not. I actually, I'll be honest with you, Ace is aware of this because we had this moment at the time, but I didn't like the initial reveal of Saints Row because I didn't like the trailer to begin with. I've realised we're still talking about Saints Row, but what can you do? It wasn't until I saw the gameplay where I was like, actually, I get it now. Like, it looks fun. And I think that's missing from games nowadays, isn't it? I feel like AAA games is trying so hard to be like, I don't want to say art, but they're trying so hard to be like blockbuster and high epic. Quality. Epic, yes. Like, story driven. And you're just like, what about being fun? You try being fun, and then like Neil Druckmann's like, games aren't supposed to be fun, and you're like, shut up, Neil, pay your staff. That's a different rant for a different day.
I think there's a difference between a story-driven game and a character-driven game.
Yeah, that's fair. I also think there's a difference between being fun and just miserable for the sake of it. Anyway, Gamescom. Gamescom 2021. I'm trying to think what I enjoyed. I really enjoyed... I've not played it yet. I know it's on Games Pass, but I did enjoy the Psychonauts trailer that they did. That got me a bit hyped, but I've not had a chance to play it yet. Because I've been playing all those other games I was talking about earlier.
I actually played it last night.
Oh, did you? How was it? Is it good?
It's pretty good, yeah. I didn't finish Psychonauts. I don't think I even got halfway through that. But yeah, it's easy enough to get into. It gives you all of the information, tells you about the VR exclusive game that came out.
Hmm. That's good. I have finished Psychonauts, but I have not finished it. Yeah, it's been years. Probably eight or nine years, maybe. It was the Steam version I would have done, so... You know, but I'm looking forward to it, because I really enjoyed the first, so... I'm glad that you think it's good. Yeah. Let's see. I feel obligated.
I played Psychonauts in 2015, almost to the day, 6 years ago.
I don't know. Oh, 2014. For me, March, so not quite as accurate to the day, but hey. I feel obligated when it comes to Gamescom to talk to you all about the new football game, the UFL, or UFL.
Awful.
It's made in Unreal Engine, and it's free to play. So for all I know, this could just be Pro Evolution Soccer, which is also both of those things.
No, Pro Evolution Soccer is eFootball.
Oh, sorry, yeah, it's called eFootball. Even, oh, mate, I've just read the article about the UFL announcement. I call it Pro Evolution Soccer and that as well. You know, I just don't want to let it go. It's just a much better name than eFootball. So, but yeah, UFL. I'm intrigued because I'm always intrigued by football games. I'm a big football fan, if you haven't noticed. Really, there's only three that are relevant. Football Manager is one of them, but doesn't really count because it's more of a simulation, I suppose. Then obviously you've got eFootball and FIFA. And I quite like eFootball. That one's, you know, quite good. You know, it's a very good game. Well, formerly when it was Pro Evolution Soccer, it was very good. I don't know what eFootball's going to be. It's going to be in a new game engine, etc. and free to play. So I imagine it'll probably be dog shit. Especially considering Konami have never, ever, ever got online infrastructure in their football games right. So, you know, it'll be fun to see how that one works out. And FIFA, I hate FIFA. No video game makes me more miserable than FIFA.
Stop buying it then.
I can't help it, mate. This is the problem. There's no options, is there? When both of your options are both shit. This is why the UFL is relatively intriguing, because it's a third option.
It's like I say in my article about how AAA video games are too expensive, which you can read on GameGrind.com. Just stop buying AAA games on release and they'll stop bumping the price up.
That is true, I suppose. The thing is, well, I don't even need to buy FIFA on release because I don't play Ultimate Team that much. So it's not like I'd miss out on starting off behind people. But yeah, you know, it depends on how many of your friends get it, doesn't it? When all your friends get it, you don't want to be on the sat on the old one because you can't play with anyone.
You know, just get new friends.
Look, Ace, right? You know how hard it is to make new friends, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's difficult, man. Especially ones that want to play FIFA. Most of them want to play football outside in the real world, which I do. I don't need FIFA. I don't know why I play it. Literally no part of me needs that game. But hey, here I am talking about it. UFL. It's going to be shit. I can tell you now it's going to be shit. The reason it's going to be shit is because when you watch the trailer, the only licensed football team that is revealed is West Ham United. And you know you've got like Barcelona or Manchester United or Real Madrid or anyone like that. You plaster that all over the fucking trailer. The fact that it's West Ham, that gives you an insight of just how fucking shit this game's going to be. You're probably going to boot it up and it's going to be like, right, we've got eight teams. We've got West Ham United, Fulham, Espanyol from the Spanish League, and then Nîmes from the French League, which I admit is four teams, but I don't want to sit here and list off eight random European football clubs.
Oxford United,
that's not a... Is Oxford United? Or is it Oxford? Yeah, it is Oxford United, yeah.
There is an Oxford United.
Yeah, they used to be the Premier League, I think. Not anymore. I'm in League Two now.
I've lived in Oxfordshire most of my life, so that's the only team I could have named that isn't Manchester United.
Do you know who the owner of Oxford United is, Ace?
No. Is it me?
No, it's Randy Pitnest. It's Sumrith Thanakaran Janusuth.
Oh.
You're not familiar with the name? he's been nicely, they've nicknamed him Tiger. So, you know, I guess that makes it much easier to tan rather than just Sumrith Thanakaran Janusuth. Oh my God, there's so many letters in that surname. There's no need. Fucking hell.
Is he Welsh?
I could not. He's Thai. He's a Thai businessman. Yeah, I wouldn't want to chant that on the terrace. Let me tell you that. Hope they're in the game, though. I don't know. Yeah, UFL looks shit. I'm going to stop talking about it now. I could waffle on about shit football games forever. Far Cry 6. I hate Ubisoft games, so I'll let you talk about that one, Ace.
I didn't even see the trailer. I was late to the show, and it's not one I've gone out my way to have a look at because I'm excited for Giancarlo Esposito's performance in that, and I don't want to spoil it too much.
I genuinely believe that his name has been said on this podcast more in the past year than any other individual's names, and I'm pretty sure you say it.
It's been said more times than the game title has been.
That's because you were just like, I don't really care about the game. It's a cool guy, you know?
I want to see more from Giancarlo Esposito. He's a brilliant actor.
You know what he should be in? He should be in the
everything.
Specifically, he should be in the upcoming game. Dokev. I think he'd do a great job in Dokev, which is a game about... I don't know.
You go around capturing these things that are like spirits, these mischievous spirits, Korean spirits, Dokevi, or something like that. Basically, it's Yokai Watch, but Korean. You go around capturing these things, you make them fight. It looks like you fight as well. One of the trailers.
You get a giant mallet.
One of the trailers shows you have a gun.
Wait, does it?
Yeah. Probably a water gun or something, but still.
I saw the mallet. I didn't see the water gun.
Yeah, I know that you guys weren't too keen on the visual style because there's kind of an uncanny valley thing going on with the human characters, but that actually looks pretty fun.
Oh yeah, I've actually figured out why they all look uncanny now, because I've been thinking about it, because I thought like the art was really nice, but the character, there's something about the character faces, and I've watched the trailer a couple of times now, and I figured out the reason they all look really uncanny is because none of them have got noses. They're literally just forehead, eyes, and mouths. Like genuinely, like I was watching it, and I was like, hey, that kid hasn't got a nose. And I was like, shit, I got a nose. Maybe that's what's wrong.
Right. Looking side on, there is a bump for the nose, but face on, yeah, you can't see it.
It's just
it.
A flat face, isn't it? Yeah. So that's why, if anyone's wondering why these kids look like just completely like expressionless, it's because they haven't got a nose. They are showing expressions, but everyone knows that the most expressive body part is in fact the nose.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you do. That's why, you know
when
you build
a snowman. Is
that a lie? No, of course. You know when it's Christmas time and you build a snowman with the kids? Have you ever noticed how the snowman, as soon as you put a carrot in its face, comes to life? No?
I thought it was the top hat.
No, we don't have top
hats. That makes it come back, come to life.
We don't have top hats around here. We have to put like snapbacks on them. Fuck boy snowman. I can't. Save Ace, please.
April O'Neil is going to be a playable character in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which is certainly interesting. What's more interesting, however, is that she's also going to be a character in that Nickelodeon Smash Brothers game, which is weird to me, because why is it the April O'Neil from the 90s and not a more recent version of the character. Also, the trailer for Shredder's Revenge shows, well, the Turtles have a team-up ability where they will knock a enemy between their shells. When April O'Neil takes part in this move, it just looks like she's using her ass.
They call it a hip attack, Ace. You're so rude. I don't know. I don't like the
I'm sending Turtles. You. I'm sending you a screenshot.
Okay, I'm ready for this. I'm going to describe the screenshot to the people who are watching, right? So, she is, firstly, blood is coming out of all of the orifices right, in the screenshot. God. I'm not even kidding. That's what it looks like to me, right? But, most importantly, her and Blue Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Leonardo
da Vinci, right? They are sandwiching a man who may be wearing a hood.
It's a robot.
No, I refuse to believe that. It's either a man wearing a hood or a really, really sad cowboy hat. Okay. And they're sandwiching with their arses. They're definitely hip attacks, though. I think she's hitting him with his hip. It's a well-known wrestling move, and everyone knows professional wrestling is real.
And professional wrestling is what news anchors in the 90s practiced?
Yeah. Have you never heard of Redacted?
Do you want to just beep that? Yeah. Oh, no, Rhodes, I have not heard of... I'm not beeping that. There were two Marvel games talked about. The launch of Future Revolution, which is the, I want to say, mobile game.
Oh yeah, that's the one no one cared about. It was the other one that mattered.
That I didn't care about, and I still don't care about because it's like I don't like the Marvel mobile games because it's all PvP, and I just don't have time for that.
About the Midnight Suns. Which is spelled wrong. I'm pretty sure this is spelled wrong.
It is. Well, okay. Midnight Suns is the game title. Midnight Sons, S-O-N-S, is a Marvel comic from the 90s. And is a unofficial team that you see usually at big events. It's got Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider, Blade, and a bunch of others. But not Wolverine. But Midnight Suns, S-U-N-S, the game, it's a tactical RPG. It's by Firaxis, the developer of XCOM 2, and that just makes me not want to play it.
Come on.
I doubt you're going to be building civilizations or really anything.
You play as either Professor X or Magneto, and you have to build like your empire of mutants. And you go, that's actually a really good game idea. What the fuck? My jokes have become—they've looped and become actual theories. Unbelievable. Anyway,
Midnight Suns. You play as a new character who you can customize. It's the first customizable character in Marvel, except for the one in X-Men Destiny from 10 years ago. They seem to have forgotten about.
DC Universe Online's been doing it for years.
And you... yes, it's a brand new character, so you don't actually control Wolverine and Iron Man and all that. In the CG trailer that they showed off, every time Ghost Rider comes on screen, he's whipping his chains in the exact same motion, and that wound me up so badly. He does it 3 times... And he doesn't need to do it any of the time. Doctor Strange says, asks him to light some candles. He whips his chains around, and then, after his chains have stopped moving, does a loop of fire around all the candles.
Oh yeah, I like it's like you said it. Like Wolverine is not part of the Midnight Suns, like from what I can remember. But they put him in. I assume the reason they put him in is because, like, maybe they're not confident on Ghost Rider and Blade being able to sell games, so they throw some big names at it, which makes sense. But you know, in the trailer,
Iron Man's there.
Well, yeah, but like, this is my point. Like, you'd think like Iron Man, Wolverine, like they can sell games. Like, they're big. They're two of Marvel's biggest like characters, right? You know, in the trailer, literally never focuses on them, does it? Literally.
Yeah, we see Wolverine get his claws out twice.
Yeah. I can't remember seeing Iron Man in the trailer. I just know he's on like the splash screen for the trailer. You see more of the lady, I can't remember her name.
It depends on which lady.
The one who's like front and centre of all the posters. Is that the customizable
character? That's the customizable character.
That's why I don't know who it is, mate. That answers my question, isn't it? We're trying to put a name to it all this time. I didn't realise it's a custom character.
Yeah, it seems to be, well, I imagine it's going to be heavily publicised around when Doctor Strange 2 comes out, because it's magic, quote-unquote magic-based team-up. All the characters have, like, runes on their outfits.
Yeah.
And the main character is that she's been awakened with magic, so I assume she or he, but they're leaning on the she in the promotional stuff.
Yeah, I suppose so. It looks interesting though. Like I said, the XCOM games have kind of lost their way a little bit, so I don't know, it'll be good, but I do like the older XCOM games. So I've got hope that it can be.
I know that's Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle and whatever the new one's called are this genre, so it can be fun. It's just not my preferred sort of genre. There's a Transformers Battlegrounds game released last year, and it's tactical RPG. And I just didn't find it that fun because, again, I don't like taking turns and waiting for enemies to move, and then I take another turn and, oh no, I clicked the wrong thing and now I've got to wait for them to do their moves. And it's not... I like instant relief.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I mean, you know I'm a big tactical game fan anyway, so... It's obviously going to appeal to me, but
I imagine lots of people are tactical game fans because clearly they keep making them and they keep selling them.
Well, yeah, true. I don't know if Marvel is the right target audience for this kind of game, though. You know, when I think of Marvel, I think especially now, like the people who enjoy Marvel as a franchise are so diverse that when you give them a really specific genre or shoehorn them into something, I don't know if it works. And my theory comes from the Marvel Avengers game by Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics, which I know wasn't necessarily the best game, but like that's a game as a service, and I don't think games as a service work well for people who aren't like proper like hardcore gamers who are willing to play for a couple of hours every day. And I think this is a similar thing. Like, these kind of games have a really tough learning curve. I don't know how like the casual Marvel audience is going to look at that and be like, oh yeah, I'm willing to learn how to like beat this kind of game. Like, some will. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, like we all boot up a tactical game once in our lives, and we're like, yeah, I'm a fan of these now. Like, that's how we all became fans of them. But so many of them are going to be like, yeah, that looks exciting, and they'll boot up and be like, yo, I had a 94% chance of shooting that guy, and I missed. This is shit. And they'd be right.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to definitely go the route of Marvel plus Rabbids or Transformers Battlegrounds to make it more accessible. But are they the right developers, the developers of the XCOM series? Are they the right developers to get behind this?
Oof, who knows? They aren't that great at making XCOM games anymore. So, I mean, I guess the biggest worry is that this is just going to be XCOM with Marvel characters. Which wouldn't suit Marvel at all. But, you know, we'll find out. They didn't really show that much, to be honest with you. I mean, on what they did show, like a customizable character, I didn't fucking pay attention to, as we've clearly established. So
no, she was shown right at the end of the trailer, and we didn't really even... We haven't seen any gameplay, so clearly it's not releasing in February, unlike Saints Row.
Yeah. A lot of games coming out in February, though, isn't there? Like, isn't Horizon February as well? I'm sure there's something else as well. Like, it's a really crowded month next year.
Yeah, I think October, December, and January are going to be quiet. It's November and February that everyone's crowding around.
Yeah, look at this. So we got next February. Well, if we go from the end of January, we've got Elden Ring, Pokemon Arceus. Horizon Forbidden West, Destiny 2, Saints Row, Blood Bowl 3, Sifu, which I really like, although it probably won't get as much love because it's really coming out at the fucking wrong time. new Guild Wars expansion, Midnight Suns is set for March, the new WWE game is set for March. Like, that's a very heavy start to the year, which I feel is quite unusual.
Well, this year has had a lot of games that were supposed to come out towards the end of 2020.
Yeah, I suppose that is true.
So I suppose everything, all of those games should have come out this year, but they have been pushed back. But there were a couple of indie games at Gamescom that stood out to me. Terror of Hemosaurus. If you ever played Rampage, the old game where you're a monster and you have to destroy buildings, it's basically that, but nobody makes that sort of game anymore, so I want that sort of game, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Again, instant relief. I want to be a giant monster destroying buildings. Boom, it's done. I don't have a 50% chance of hitting that helicopter.
Yeah, I get that.
That's coming out on everything. Time Loader. There's another one that stood out to me because I do like a good time travel game. You're controlling a remote controlled, I assume, or AI driven little buggy around someone's house in a side scrolling manner, trying to change the timeline or something. You got a grappling hook, so of course I'm in.
I am.
Like a good grappling hook.
Did you see Midnight Fighting Express? I thought that looked pretty good. It's just a fighting game, really stylish though. Kind of like Hotline Miami, that's what it reminded me of. Like you just kind of go in and just batter the shit out of everyone in a level.
Oh yeah,
that was quite nice. Really nice art as well.
Oh, don't know where you get Hotline Miami from, because it's isometric, not like top down.
Yeah, but just
and
like
it's not pixel style.
No, but like it just reminds me of that sort of like you go in and just fight a room of people. And I don't want to say it is permadeath, but it seems like that is the case, as far as I can tell. But, you know, again, I've seen so many trailers, I think they've all just merged into one in my head now. I've forgotten all the details about them all, which is the issue with these kind of events. I feel like nothing important happened after, like, Jeff Keighley's show. And I fancy Jeff Keighley, so the games didn't even go in.
Oh, they talked about Jurassic World Evolution 2, and they had what's his face?
God, the actor. Jeff Goldblum.
In
they talked about Jurassic World Evolution 2 a lot. Like, I feel like because obviously, like the main show was on like when was it, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think last week, and I feel like every day whenever I tuned in to just catch what was going on, I feel like I could just see Jeff Goldblum and like Jurassic World was just on. I'm just like, fuck me, you're pushing this hard for a game again that I just don't think has an audience.
You just build a park and ooh, now it's got wind. I think that was one of the selling points they went on about in the first trailer. But yeah, in the first trailer, he was there for like 5 seconds just and for 4 of those seconds, he wasn't even talking about the game. I do wonder how much it costs to have him talk about Jurassic World Evolution 2, which, as you say, has not got the biggest audience. It's there is that other Jurassic World game, Aftermath Part 2, the VR, that they also talked about, but again, that's VR, so a small audience. I think we all just want a side-scrolling game where you play as a raptor and kill humans, like in the Stairs days.
Yeah, they're just... Oh, shit, they're actually two different games. That's what they were talking about so much. Fuck, didn't realise. I just saw Jurassic World and the number two. I think I just filled in the rest.
Yeah, that's fine.
I honestly don't really have much more to say about these, you know.
It was a thing. There were lots of announcements. Our Twitter bot broke and spent 3 days catching up.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw someone manually post on the Game Grid Twitter account, which is an unusual occurrence. So everyone go and like that tweet.
If you can find it behind all of the Gamescom tweets.
Yeah. No, it was nice. I think there was a good variety of games, which is nice. I think so often in years gone by, you get a plethora of racing games, shooting games, and, you know, like, I feel like you've seen it all.
Yeah, there's a good variety, you're right.
So like, I feel like everyone... I remember Gamescom last year. I remember everyone kind of coming out and being relatively disappointed, bar a couple of games. But this year, I feel like everyone's come out like quite excited about very different things, which is what I feel like these kind of events should be. I did have a good chuckle, though, that fucking Activision took their name off Call of Duty Vanguard, a bunch of cunts. So, in case you weren't aware, Activision are still making Call of Duty. Don't buy their games.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. I got a marketing email in my personal inbox from Blizzard Entertainment about the new Call of Duty. I thought, hang on. Blizzard don't make the Call of Duty series.
Yeah, my favourite expansion for World of Warcraft, the Call of Duty Vanguard expansion. Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just silly, really. Like, why hide your company name when you could just deal with the problem? But, you know.
Deal with the... No.
No, never. Why deal with it when you could simply hide it and throw mud on it and pretend it doesn't exist? Activision are bastards.
And charge 70 quid for the standard version.
Yeah. I also noticed, like, a few days afterwards, where I tweeted a joke about the game and I realised that's what Vanguard wrong. And I assume you noticed that. Nice.
That's probably... No, is it with a U or without a U?
Well, I tell you what, I spelled it Vagaurd, mate. So you tell me.
Right, you transposed the U and the A.
Yeah, I forgot the N. Oh,
I mean, do you particularly care about Call of Duty Vanguard?
Well, I felt like the tweet was good enough to get a few more than two likes, but, you know, when you miss the fucking game title, people aren't going to find it. No, sadly for me, no one's searching for Call of Duty : Vanguard. So... It's French. It's French for Vanguard, which I think is already a French word.
I honestly didn't see the tweets. Last tweet I remember seeing from you is you telling me to stop it.
What was that to? I don't remember.
Because I said, oh, do devs react to speedruns?
Yeah, that was something that was missing this year, I think. I didn't see it once.
Oh, no, it was. That's why I tweeted it.
Oh, wait. No, it was.
I tweeted it when it happened.
No way, they've not learnt their lesson, have they? At least it was like after every two games.
No, they did repeat their IGN adverts, but at least there was more than one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I mean, it definitely wasn't as intrusive this year. I thought the whole thing as a whole was much better run, which maybe that was because there was more, I suppose. Like, last year was a bit of an odd one because, you know, it was... I mean, I know they did like the Summer of Games, like E3 thing. No, in fact, E3 was cancelled. They just did the Summer of Games event under COVID. But I think Gamescom was the first big convention that was still a convention online. And it didn't go very well. let's get it right. But I think they did a much better job this year. I don't know if it was helped because they had a big Jeff Keighley show, which is You know, like he generally always does a good job with those. He normally keeps them entertaining and moving. Whereas last year, honestly, I can't remember what IGN did last year. It was a mess, wasn't it? It was just them tuning in. Some games might be announced in the next hour, and you were like, oh, brilliant.
It's because it was all rushed because everyone thought the pandemic would be over by then.
But yeah.
E3 had no excuse this year for being so awful.
Was E3 a thing this year? Did they bring it back?
Yeah, we covered E3 on GameGrid.com.
Did we? I thought everyone just did like the summer game festival thing that Jeff Keighley did, and E3 was like, this is us, really? And everyone was like, no, it's not.
Speaking of IGN, one of the, I forget which show it was being presented by this guy who was on a Miami beach and going up and down, and it was when they talked about You Suck at Parking and all games, because they went to a parking lot and found someone who was not parked in the lines and called him out.
That's glad.
But the presenter for that, it was weird. He was trying really hard to be funny, and I didn't find any of it funny. I'm a big fan of slapstick. I like it when people trip over, get hit by things. He got hit by two bulls and a bird crapped on him, and nothing, not even a smirk.
Yeah, but that just sounds like misfortune rather than comedy.
It was all planned out. He had people chucking things at him.
I hate it when people shit on me legitimately. The slapstick. I like that we still managed to fucking shit on IGN for this fucking event.
Is there a reason we shouldn't?
Stood up for Palestine, I suppose.
And then removed it, and then months later put it back up.
Well, yeah, true, I suppose. Fuck IGN and all. IGN and Activision. Why don't they just get a room, eh? They probably already do. What am I talking about? Oh, God.
Look, all of the trailers that we featured on GameGrin.com had to be IGN trailers because they had exclusive use. Like, these games' official YouTube channels were not allowed to put up trailers that they'd just shown for their games for 24, 48 hours until after IGN had had it.
I mean,
so, yeah.
They're like the Epic Games of video game trailers, is what I'm hearing.
Except they don't give the developers and publishers any percentage. They just give them exposure.
Oh, yeah. Slap on the back and a hot dog, mate.
And probably got paid to make developers wait 24 hours to put up their own trailers.
Yeah.
Anyway, visit GameGrin.com.
Thanks for listening, you bunch of bastards. Oh, we should cancel this podcast forever.
Yeah, we should cancel the podcast, and then we can be on that documentary that John Cleese is doing.
What documentary?
He's doing a documentary about cancel culture for Channel 4.
No, he's not. Oh, is it called Cancel Me by any chance?
I think so. I don't remember.
You know what?
Yeah, it was all over Twitter a few days ago.
Let's end the Greencast with a resounding message for our listeners. If you're a prick on social media, that's not cancel culture. That's you being a prick and suffering consequences. Thank you for listening. Go on, Ace, you do your bit now.
I'd just like to add, racists, fuck off and stop listening to us.
Yeah, if you're a racist prick, it's still the same. You know, you can add any bad thing on front of the word prick and you can be it. You know, there you go. John Cleese. I don't really know anything about John Cleese, to be honest with you. Isn't he in Monty Python? I can't remember.
That may be it for this episode of the Grincast, but you can subscribe wherever you found this episode for a new episode every Tuesday night. You can hear more from Game Grin by visiting gamegrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast, which covers the latest anime from the current season.
A lot more professional as well.
And until next time, game on.